We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Balkman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. This month, I'm kicking it on the High Stakes Tip with Ted Rokas, the current champ of the FFPC 1250 number 7 Dynasty League, and a winner of a half dozen high-stakes fantasy football titles as well. In this episode, we'll talk about the big trade he just made for the 102 in a high-stakes rookie draft, debate several wideouts going around Terry McLaurin in startup drafts, and much more. Rokas' career FFPC winnings total nearly $30,000, and you can follow him on Twitter at Ted Rokas. Before we get into the show, I want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 10% discount to RotoViz by using the code RVRadio2021. That's RVRadio2021. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it supports the podcast channel as well. Now, without further ado, here is $30,000 FFPC winner, Ted Rokas. Ushering in the month of April this week, whenever you're listening to it on the High Stakes Lowdown here with a former Dynasty champion and the current FFPC 1250 number 7 Dynasty champion. It is Ted Rokas. Ted, welcome back. You've not been on this show before. I know you've been on the HSFF Hour, but welcome and thank you for doing the show with me.
Ed, thanks for having me, Balky. I'm glad to be here. It's been a while since we've chatted, so this should be fun.
One of the things that we should bring up right away was a story you told me you had. Now, you were on, it was probably, I want to say 3 years ago. I could be wrong.
You are.
I am wrong? When was yeah. it? When was it?
It was 2013. Time flies.
Oh, my goodness. Holy cow. 8 years ago. My goodness.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
8 years ago, you were on the High Stakes Fantasy Football, or one of the very first guests, I would say. That was probably the second. We just started season 10, and I think that was season 2, if I'm remembering correctly. So one of the first Dynasty guests we've had on. So there's a story that you have to share related to that appearance on that podcast. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was last on in 2013, probably because I was in 75 managed fantasy football leagues that year. Which
that might have something to do with it.
Yeah, that was a little it was a little much, but I may make a run for 100. Not this season, the following season, but we'll see. So the winter, late 2012, early 2013, I was thinking like I had an extra 10-20K I wanted to invest, and I narrowed it down to I was either going to do a bunch of fantasy football leagues, or I was going to buy with the money a bunch of Bitcoin.
Oh.
So when I first was thinking about it, was late 2012, Bitcoin was at $7. And then
this is going to be so painful to listen to.
And then early 2013, it had gone up to $30. So I said, you know what? Screw it. It's already up a bunch. I know fantasy football. I'm confident that I'm plus EV in the games I'm going to be playing in. So I'll just go with that. So like from that point on, every month it just kept going up and up. Before the season even started, I'm drafting these leagues and Bitcoin had gone up to $280. So I'm sitting there like, what the hell? I have no chance of matching that ROI. But so fast forward to I was so tilted about it that I just like completely forgot about Bitcoin. Fast forward to 2017, and it was impossible not to see for me, like it absolutely mooned again, ran up to 20K. And I saw like when it was at 5K or so, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not playing this game. If it ever tanks again, I'm going to go all in and just put everything I have into it. Because by this point, back in 2012, 2013, like there really wasn't a ton of information. It was hard to obtain. So by this point, though, like I had studied up a bunch. And so from 2018 to 2020, I've spent all my free time learning and accumulating. And now I spend the majority of my time farming on SushiSwap, on PancakeSwap, and buying NFTs and doing all kinds of stuff crypto related. But yeah, so it's ended up working out very well.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that there's at least somewhat of a happy ending to that story, because that could have been brutal.
Well, yeah, it was brutal for a few years there. You know? Now that Bitcoin's pushing 60K, I'm feeling pretty good about it. But there was a time there when I'm doing the math, I'm like, so I would have had about $10 million right now.
God.
Yeah,
God.
It was brutal.
I don't even want to hear it. It's like it's fingernails on the chalkboard hearing that for me. I can't imagine what it's like for you, but at least you're coming out way ahead and getting in.
Yeah.
You know, when did the crypto craze really hit? Within the last, year or so, and you were in on 2 or 3 years well before.
Yeah. So for the whole bear market, whenever I had any money, I invested quite a bit. So in a good position right now, fortunately.
You are all about trying to get assets on the upswing. And I think one of the things that you just did in this 1250 number 7 league was just that. You gave up Ezekiel Elliott in a trade, Elliott, Juju Smith-Schuster, and the 112. And in exchange, you got back the 102. So can you tell us a little bit about, number one, why you were motivated to make the trade? And number two, why do you like the 102 so much?
So first off, it might end up being a mistake. If Juju comes out and looks like he did his first or second year, and Fat Zeke loses a little bit of weight, and that offense does what I think they're capable of doing, it could look bad this year. But there's also the possibility that Juju is what he is at this point. He's been the last couple of years, and that's a low yard per target guy. In an offense with a declining quarterback, it's only a one-year deal, but there's a lot of mouths to feed there. If he doesn't have a big year this year, I don't see much from him going forward. And then with Zeke, he's what, 26, 27 now? If he doesn't have a good year this year, I mean, you saw how quickly it ended for Gurley. And the problem was nobody really wanted Zeke. So I wanted to start getting younger. So my team, it's not like it was really old, but I think I've finished second 2 years in a row, two out of 3 years before winning last year. So my team's had a good run, and I definitely do not want to let my team get old. So I would rather start to retool now, try to stay somewhat competitive, and kind of rebuild on the fly. And getting ahead of it with trading Zeke and Juju, we'll see how it ends up. I do like Chase, though. I would like to get him if possible. We'll see how everything shakes out with the draft and stuff, but he looks like an elite prospect from the little research I've done so far.
Is he? And I know we'll get into rookies a little bit later on, but is Chase, if you had the 101, say, instead of the 102, would you take Chase over Harris or ATN or any of those other guys?
So it would be between Harris and Chase for me. And given the couple-year difference and the fact that a wide receiver, you have a much longer shelf life, I would probably lean Chase unless Harris – if Harris was – I would ideally, if I have 101 and Harris goes to a great landing spot, would it be a Pittsburgh or Atlanta or something, I would and he's the unanimous 101, I would try to trade back to 102 would be what I would do.
Are you just curiously, are you concerned about Najee Harris's age at all, given that he's 23 years old already?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I still think he's going to be really good, but at 23 and a half, he's not even in the league yet. It's a bit old. And you just the shelf life on running backs, you never know. You know, it can be really, really quick. You get a few years and with a lot of guys and that's it.
Well, and two, I mean, like, it may not be any different, right? Because Ezekiel Elliott had a few years, and now maybe you just went high on him, you know? And look at Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell. You know, these guys that they're these what do you call it? The Sigmund Bloom would know this. The red dwarfs or whatever, the super bright stars that like burn so bright, but they burn so it's such a short, quick thing, you know?
That definitely sounds like a Sigmund reference.
Exactly, yeah. And that's how it would be, you know, with these running backs. So I think you make some good points there on why it's to get out and get the deal for that 102. Speaking of selling high, I feel like I've talked to a lot of high-stakes dynasty players about this, but Alvin Kamara, he comes off a massive season, probably the best season of his career last year. Have you had any thoughts, because I know you own him on this team, have you had any thoughts on trying to trade him at his peak right now?
So, yeah, I have sent a couple offers out. I would move him, but I'm not in a rush to move him in the same way that I was with Zeke. I would trade him for I would like a solid first-round pick, but I want an elite receiver. So an elite young receiver. So a Justin Jefferson, a DK Metcalf, plus a little something extra. You know, that's what it would take for me to move them. I really like both those guys. They're both young stud receivers. You know you're going to get 4 or 5 years of solid wide receiver one, wide receiver two production out of them. So, yeah.
If somebody offers you just in a vacuum right now, they say, hey, Ted, would you give me Alvin Kamara? I'll give you J.K. Dobbins and Justin Jefferson. Is that enough to get it done for you?
Yeah, for sure. I would snap accept that.
Got it. Cool. All right. More Cowboys talk here. Let's move on and talk about Amari Cooper, because he's on this team for you right now as well. Things that are going to affect his performance in 2021. Number one, Dak Prescott's health. Number two, how much more CeeDee Lamb emerges. And you still have Michael Gallup there. I don't know how much of a concern that is. But Amari Cooper, how do you see his 2021 shaking out with the variables of Prescott and Lamb?
I'm a big Amari truther. He's been frustrating at times, but I took him back in the rookie draft at 101 over Gurley, which at times that looked really bad. Now, not quite as bad. But I'm not worried about CeeDee. I think there's – if Dak is healthy, and I don't think Jerry would have given him that contract if he didn't think he'd be healthy – I think that offense is going to be really good. I mean, they were on pace to be, you know, right up there with KC, maybe better than KC's as an elite offense in the league last year. And then that gruesome injury for Dak happened. So I'm not too concerned on Amari. I think he'll have a big year as long as Dak is healthy. And I see no reason why he wouldn't be.
Yeah, the rising tide raising all ships. It just could be what we, you know, what we saw last year over the course of the first month of the season, where the Cowboys couldn't do anything wrong from an offensive standpoint. Everybody who loaded up on the Cowboys, you know, I think about Evan Silva's team from Established the Run in the FFPC main event. I mean, he had all those Cowboys on there, and it was great. I mean, he was like a top five team, and then Prescott goes down, and it just kills the value of everybody on that team. But, you know, had things been different, you know, we could be talking very differently about the Dallas Cowboys this year.
Yeah, oh, I know all too well. Both my main event teams were Dak stacks with Amari, so I was not pleased. Yeah, it was not my best season-long redraft season last year, for sure. I was heavy Dallas, and the Dak injury was crippling.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. I mean, it just stinks because you got it right, Ted. I mean, you clearly
evaluations right,
and it's just one injury. It just it stinks. Let's talk about a guy who was hurt pretty much all last season, if I'm remembering correctly, OJ Howard. Now, as we continue the tour of this of your 1250 number seven championship squad, he is at tight end on this roster. Bruce Arians, I know, was talking him up this past week. How much of a fantasy factor can he be, though? Not only with Rob Gronkowski still there, but you think about Mike Evans, Chris Godwin just got the franchise tag. I know they're trying to bring back Antonio Brown. I don't know if he's going to come there or not. But, I mean, certainly a lot of options there. And how does O.J. Howard fit in to Tampa Bay as far as when you would deploy him on your fantasy starting lineup?
Well, let's talk about player evaluations. I did not get right, Belky.
O.J. Howard?
I traded D.J. Moore for O.J. Howard. I don't feel very good about it.
Yeah.
I was loaded at wide receiver, and tight end was like my one weakness. I forget if it was last offseason I think it might have been the prior offseason, but regardless, like, it has not worked out well at all. OJ Howard has just been a disaster. But I still have a little bit of hope. He's got the physical tools. The guy's 6'6", 250. Runs a 4.5 40 at a 97% agility score. Like, the guy's the elite draft pedigree. I mean, he was, 119 or so. But he's 26 now, and it's time to put some stats up, because he's shown glimpses, but he just has not been able to put it together. And with Gronk there, I'm not too concerned, because I don't envision Tampa running out Gronk and playing him a ton going forward, but we'll see about that. Most likely, to be honest, he's probably going to suck. He hasn't done much his whole career, but I do hold out some glimmer of hope that that offense once again should be really strong. But even if OJ is good, I think it's going to be a pretty volatile situation. It's going to come down to, did he score a touchdown that week?
Right. Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, even if he gets hurt, this is a make or break season for him in
for
your
sure.
eyes, right? You know, if
absolutely.
He either does it this year or he doesn't, either because of poor performance or injury. And then you're kind of washing your hands of him and you have zero expectation for him going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gotten to that point for sure. I mean, he doesn't do it, he's 26 now. It's time to put up or shut up.
One of the guys in fantasy leagues last year that really put up big time was rookie running back James Robinson, undrafted rookie running back for the Jaguars, James Robinson. In a million years, I couldn't have seen this coming. You get an undrafted guy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Out of Illinois State, you know, like some random, you know, school. He plays for one of the worst teams in the league, the team that has the number one pick in the league, and somehow he was one of the best running backs last season. I don't know how that happens. I don't know if there's a good explanation for it, but he's kind of a conundrum right now if you own him in Dynasty, because you got to figure out if that was an aberration or if it was real. And either way, you got to react. How much did you shop him around when he was, you know, on the upswing last year, Ted, when a lot of people did sell high on him? How much were you shopping him? And then sort of since the season ended, what's been your approach with James Robinson on your roster?
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
So in season, probably mid-season last year, I got offered a first-round pick for him, which I turned down. Now, had I not been competing, I would have snap accepted the offer. But it was my main competition in the league, so the team I would consider the best team in the league. And I wasn't going to help him out and hurt my team. It was going to be a late first-round pick, but still, for a undrafted guy that I took in maybe the fifth round of the rookie draft, I normally would have accepted that. He's the kind of guy that you generally are profiting on by selling high. And if you don't sell high, more often than not, it ends up coming back to burn you. So now the whole season played out. I think all they've brought in is Carlos Hyde.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a tough spot because if they don't draft anyone high, he's in a good spot. I mean, he actually looked really solid last year. He can catch passes. They use him on the goal line. And I don't really think Carlos Hyde is a threat to him. So if he's, you know, getting the same workload that he did last year, and the volume he got was great. And he looked solid when he played. So he's worth more than a late first round pick if that's what he's doing at his age.
It's interesting, just real quick, that you bring that up, because I had James Robinson in one of my dynasty leagues. Same thing happened to me. Like mid-October, somebody offered me a first round pick, and it wasn't the best team in the league, but it was one of the better teams. And I knew if they got Robinson, the pick would be like the 111 or the 112. You know what I mean?
Right.
I did the same thing as you. I'm like, I'm going to roll the dice, see what happens. And I turned it down. But my approach this spring has been different with Robinson than yours has.
So what is your approach, Ben?
Well, for me, it's kind of like I'm not, I feel like, and maybe this is the wrong approach, but I feel like I sort of made my decision on my player evaluation of James Robinson in the fact that unless somebody comes at me with not a Godfather type offer, but an offer that really is like, okay, I'm going to be stupid if I turn this down. I'm really not willing to move him at this point. And I haven't been shopping him around because I feel like when I turn down that first round pick in my mind, subconsciously, I just believe that this guy is going to be part of my dynasty future. And I'm not willing to move off that unless somebody really, really values him significantly more than I do.
What would that kind of offer look like?
That's a good question. And I don't know because I haven't gotten it yet. I feel like fair. once I see it, I'll know it. But I think if somebody gave me, I don't know, like,
what about like 1-3?
I honestly hadn't considered. I have not considered moving him for a rookie pick. That is interesting. 1-3. I think I'd still take. I think I'd still keep him. But he's not pedigreed at all, and it
that's
irritates
the
me too. You know, it's just because easy come, easy go, right? I mean,
regime change there too.
And then if he was a one-year wonder, it's so easy for Jacksonville to move off him, right? And I think in the back of my mind, they moved off Leonard Fournette in favor of this guy. So I feel like at least the front office believed in him, but now you got Urban Meyer there, and the feelings might not, you know, be similar as to where they were this time last year.
For sure. No, I think we're actually pretty close in agreement on it. I haven't really been actively shopping them because from what I've seen, just people aren't willing to give what I value him at.
Right.
103 I would be taking, I think, though. I think a high first round pick like that, I think I would have to cut ties with him. But I do think that's fair in that range there. I mean, with what there's not a lot of guys in the league that get the volume that he got last year. If he gets that going forward and he gets another year of it, then he's going to move up big time. So
what about this? So I'm just kind of formulating this mind in my mind as we're talking. Let's just assume Harris is the 101, Chase goes to 102. Okay. You're on the clock. The 103 is on the clock. They offer you the pick to you in exchange for James Robinson. And let's just say, and again, this is such a hypothetical and it's going to be a hypothetical until we know where these guys land. Let's say Travis Etienne gets drafted by the Dolphins in like the early second, right? He's out there at the 103. You have the opportunity to change James Robinson in for him. What would you do? Let's not necessarily say Etienne. Let's say whoever your second running back is in this year's class, you know, whether it's Williams or whoever.
I am not fully, I haven't done enough research on this draft yet to say, but I do think that Etienne probably won't be in my top three from what I've seen so far. I'm open to changing that.
Why is that? What's turning you off?
So from what I've seen of him, he doesn't seem to have the best vision. He seems kind of like a straight line runner. And has he tested? He hasn't tested, has he?
At the Clemson Pro Day?
Yeah, whatever they had. Yeah. Did he do I don't think he did.
I think you're right. I don't think he has yet. I beg your pardon. So they had Clemson did their pro day about 3 weeks
ago. Yeah. He has. So he didn't do he didn't test like three cone or any agility stuff. That's what I was remembering.
Which isn't his game, right? So you would
exactly.
Think
so and that's what I wanted to see was him to do a three cone and put up a respectable time would make me feel a little bit better with him. But yeah, I mean, he could be really good for sure. I would probably take Etienne. So say it was Etienne, I would take Etienne over James Robinson at this point.
Okay.
As long as the landing spot was reasonable, I value the landing spot with running back, rookie running backs, much, much, much more than a receiver coming into the league. The lifespan is a lot shorter, and it just matters a lot more, in my opinion.
All right, so I think you kind of already answered this question, but let's say Pittsburgh does draft the running back. Let's say they draft the first running back off the board, and for all intents and purposes, we know you like Harris. Let's say they take Harris. Is he the 101 for you then over Chase?
So probably, but I would look to trade back to 102. I would hope. So ideally, a good landing spot like that, I think that's going to really push the value up on the 101. And I would rather go with the receiver at this point than a 23 and a half, I think, year old running back. But I mean, if in a vacuum, so that's specific to my team. In a vacuum, though, I would go with the running back for sure, with Harris.
Let's move on and talk about Washington. And I think we'll play a little bit of a game with this one.
Okay,
now,
sounds good.
Last year, there was nobody opposite Terry McLaurin for the WFT. Now he gets Curtis Samuel playing next to him, or opposite him, I should say. Last year at quarterback, they had check down Charlie Alex Smith. And now this year they got gunslinging Fitzpatrick, okay, Ryan Fitzpatrick. So how much does that increase McLaurin's dynasty value, knowing that he has a better quarterback and knowing that opposing defenses are going to have to be forced to focus less on him in coverage?
Yeah, they're going to be a fun team this year. I'm really looking forward to watching them with Fitzmagic. They get some really nice skill position players there, a solid defense. I think McLaurin was going late third or early fourth of startups. And for me, I would probably, with Fitzpatrick there, I would probably bump him to like early third, and I wouldn't argue with late second.
Wow.
Yeah, McLaurin's awesome, but there's a big tier of receivers there. Let's play a little Would You Rather, Valky.
Yes, yeah. Fire away, my friend.
All right, so would you rather Terry McLaurin or Michael Thomas?
I would say McLaurin. I would rather have McLaurin over Thomas.
Yeah, I think that one's close. I would go with McLaurin to take the 2.5 year younger receiver. How about DJ Moore or now, Terry McLaurin?
Now, this is interesting. Because now you talked about how you know, obviously I wouldn't have said that you made a good deal in the Howard where you gave up more for that.
I did not make a good deal.
I would also say that DJ Moore, I was a big fan of coming in to the NFL. And I would say that he has not necessarily lived up, especially last year, has not necessarily lived up to what I thought he would be. So I'm actually going to say McLaurin over Moore there, just because I feel McLaurin has the higher ceiling at this point.
I think that's fair for sure. Like that one, I would be torn on. It's flip a coin for me. I think they're so close. It would be team dependent. If I'm competing, I would go with McLaurin, because I would take McLaurin over DJ Moore in redraft. So,
you know, and like, what's Carolina doing at quarterback too? That's the other thing to consider. Short and long term.
Yeah, that's a big question mark right now for him.
At least with Washington, we know short term. We don't know long term.
Oh, short term, it looks beautiful with Fitzmagic there.
Let me fire one at you, Ted. Terry McLaurin or T. Higgins out of Cincinnati. Who would you rather?
That's a good one. In a vacuum, in a startup, I would probably go T. Higgins. Just the three and a half year age difference is enough to push me towards Higgins. But if I'm with a win now team, I would go McLaurin. If I was in redraft, I would go McLaurin.
I totally agree with that. And I'm going to apply the same logic to it. And I think I'd still say McLaurin, although it gets closer, because I think you have the mystery box of Ja'Marr Chase coming into the draft. Probably going to be, you know, a top three rookie pick, top four rookie pick, whatever it is. Terry McLaurin over Ja'Marr Chase. We know what McLaurin is. We don't know what Chase is. That can be a good and bad thing in this scenario. Now, would you take Chase over McLaurin? Now, okay, let me, maybe it's just this simple. If you're win now, you go McLaurin. If you're startup, rebuilding, whatever, it's Chase.
That's what it would be for me. That's the beauty of Dynasty, is it's so dependent on the team. You know, like, you can have one team where you value one guy higher and another team where you value the other guy higher. It's just, it really is team dependent.
Here's an interesting one. What about Terry McLaurin or DeAndre Hopkins? Is the age factor enough for you to say McLaurin, or is the production still too strong to deny for with Hopkins?
So this is a close one. I don't know if this would be a hot take, but I would go McLaurin over Hopkins right now. And I know Hopkins is like middle of the second, late second startup pick, but I would go McLaurin over him.
I get your logic. I think I would lean towards Hopkins, just because I think that Hopkins, you know, I think there's a narrative out there when a player gets to a certain age, you got to expect that he's going to start to regress, and that's probably true. I feel like Hopkins though is still not necessarily regressing, right? And I could be wrong, because there's metrics out there that would say I'm wrong, that he's already started regressing. But I feel like Kyler Murray, that Arizona offense, man, I think he can have, you know, three really elite seasons yet before he really starts to downgrade and become like an AJ Green, Julio Jones type.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think it's super close, and that's why I wanted to play this game with these receivers, is like, there's a lot of good receivers in this range, and it's really splitting hairs. It's super close amongst all of them.
Let me close it out with one final one. And it's an easier decision, but I'm going to say Calvin Ridley over McLaurin.
Yeah, I would take Ridley as well.
Okay. All right. All right. So you talked about, you have not delved into rookie research as much as you will prior to rookie drafts. We didn't get a combine this year. The pro day stuff has been kind of scattershot a little bit as well. At what point do you really sink your teeth into the rookie class as you prep for dynasty drafts? And then we talked about Chase and Harris. Are there any other players in this year's rookie class that you're pretty high on?
So usually after the Super Bowl, it's kind of a downtime. I'll start diving in. But this year I'm just way behind. I've been super busy with crypto stuff. But I'm not a huge watch the tape guy. I'll watch a little bit, but my process is probably a little different than a lot of the hardcore dynasty guys. I'll usually start out with like a wisdom of the crowd style rankings from different dynasty sites. And I'll kind of use that as my baseline. And then as I research guys and look into their metrics and stuff, I'll kind of adjust accordingly. But I like to take like a composite rankings from a bunch of different sites, kind of mesh those together, and then take it from there. But I haven't done a ton so far this year. So like, outside of a few of the top guys, I'm a bit too ignorant on the topic to speak about it. Like, I know I like Chase a lot from what I've seen. He looks like an elite prospect. And Harris in ATN, I'm familiar with and watched and seen a bit of. But outside of that, I'm not super tied in.
What Kyle Pitts, your opinion on him out of Pitts. Florida? Because the test that he did today and his measurables, just insane. I actually have Dave Gerzak texting me right now about Kyle Pitts, about like how crazy his tests were. He's 6'5", 245, timed at the four in the 40 at 4.44, broad jump of 10.9, and a 33.5-inch vertical leap. Wingspan, over 83 inches. That's longer than any other receiver or tight end measured at the combine in the last two decades. He says, Kyle Pitts says he believes he'll be the best tight end ever. That's his mentality. Tight end premium leagues, FFPC. Things could get pretty crazy with Kyle Pitts and rookie drafts, Ted.
Yeah, so I am somewhat familiar with him. Those numbers, though, you just rattled off, it sounds like you're describing a slightly better O.J. Howard.
Yeah, exactly.
Except he's got the 92nd percentile college dominator, his yards per reception 96th percentile, breakout age 95th percentile. Like he looks like an elite prospect from what I've seen. So I wouldn't be looking at him in the top couple picks because tight end is just, there's a lot of variance with tight end picks, but I could see middle of the first round. I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll have to see where he ends up getting drafted, but I imagine it'll be pretty high.
And I'll tell you know who I think would take him there? All the people that don't own Travis Kelce. Because they've seen the impact that a dominant tight end can have on fantasy teams. And they might, you know, like you say, in middle of the first round, you get to that 104, that 105 pick. Kyle Pitts looks very, very enticing for tight end premium league owners. All right. So
absolutely.
We've gone a little bit over time here. I do want to ask one final question. Ahead of the 2021 season, a player in dynasty leagues that you would be looking to, you know, sell high on, clearly you did with Elliott and Smith-Schuster, and then a player that you're actually trying to acquire right now, maybe trying to buy a little bit low on.
Yeah, so I have two guys on my current dynasty team that I'm looking to sell high on, or at least somewhat high before, while they still have good value, and that's Mike Evans and DeAndre Hopkins. Mm. So I would, if forced to choose one, I would probably go Hopkins. Evans is just super frustrating to own. He's so volatile. One game he's putting up 40, the next game he's putting up 5. But I would probably go with Hopkins. Just he's at 29. You might still be able to get solid value out of him, though, from a contending team. But he's the kind of guy, once they get to be that age, if he tears his ACL, his value is just gone. So he's someone, unless I'm like strongly competing, I definitely want to get rid of. And then as far as guys I'm targeting, or a guy or two, so the elite receivers, Justin Jefferson, DK Metcalf, but obviously, I mean, you got everybody's targeting them. So someone a little more under the radar. Anthony Firkser or a tight end for the FFPC guys. With Jonnu Smith out of there, Corey Davis out of there, there's a lot of passes to go around, a lot of targets to go around. And he's a natural pass catcher, much more so than a blocker. So him and Tyler Higbee with Everett out of town, I'm expecting – tight end sucks, but I'm expecting better, but we'll see.
What about Everett in Seattle? Do you like him there at all?
Yeah, oh, for sure. But I feel like every year, Belky, we have these guys at tight end that look like they're going to be good, and everyone gets pumped up for them, and then most of them just end up sucking.
Yeah, yeah.
Every year, you know? it's like you get Kelce, like, Kittle, and that's it.
Yeah, and like, you know, if there's any other playmakers on your team, I mean, like, Seattle just signed Tyler Lockett to that big extension, plus they have Metcalf, right?
Yeah.
Higbee's going to be dealing with DeSean Jackson, Woods, and Kupp, and Van Jefferson. You know, it's like, it's tough,
true,
to find a tight end that's really the focal point of the offense. Kansas City has one.
Yes.
San Francisco has one. I guess you could make the case that Las Vegas has one just because the receivers aren't all
that's
that
true.
Great with Waller there too. And then we'll see with Pitts. That's going to be a fun thing to watch. Ted, cannot thank you enough for coming on. I'm very sorry the FFPC cost you a potential to make $10 million in Bitcoin. Hopefully,
it's okay. I'm going to get there.
Yeah, you will get there, and hopefully you'll bring I know you'll bring several FFPC Dynasty titles, several more FFPC Dynasty titles along with you. Be good. We will talk again soon. Thanks so much, man.
That's the plan. Good talking to you, Balky. Take care, buddy.
Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz Radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think. And follow us on Twitter @RotoVizRadio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the NFL podcast homepage,
rotoviz.com/podcast.